here, but we can come back and be with us again soon. The road is a little scratchy this morning, so bear with me. I hope my voice will hold up through the lesson. I've just spent a few days in Alexander City at winter camp. I was not directing the camp, but was a counselor there, so with a bunch of 9th and 10th graders that didn't let me sleep a whole lot. So maybe I'm getting too old for that, but we had a good few days. It was Wednesday through Saturday. Had Bible studies twice a day and a lot of singing, and we had a good profitable time during that camp. This morning we are going to continue with our study that we've been going through, the book of Proverbs, and it's a topical study as we've been going through the book. And one of the big topics that you do see in the book of Proverbs is the definition of a fool, and that you do not want to be one. So Solomon spends a lot of time describing the fool. He doesn't want his son, who he is instructing, to end up being a fool, and so it's important that he knows what a fool looks like. He wants his son not to make friends with fools, and he does not want his son to be a fool. And I understand that there are some times in life when we do foolish things, and we act like fools, and maybe sometimes we don't even realize it. So what Solomon does here is that he describes the actions of the fool. And really, most people don't think that they fit that category, or they don't want to think that they do fit that category. But when we look at what the Proverbs describe that the fool looks like, we may find that sometimes there's a little bit of similarity in the way that the fool is acting, the way that we are acting, or the mindset of the fool. So we need to look at God's Word, certainly not take offense at God's description of what we might be, and be willing to make, you know, changes if you're doing something that's foolish. One of the things that we see that is the hallmark of the fool, that his eye is on worldliness. In chapter 17 and verse 24, it says that the discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. And when you read this particular proverb, it may not be apparently, you know, clear what it is, but the point is, what does it mean that the fool has his eyes on the end of the earth? Well, there's a contrast that's being made here between the fool and the one who is discerning. The one who is discerning is the one that has wisdom. The one that is discerning, he's using his faculties to make correct decisions. But the fool is not. So first of all, there's a contrast between one that is a discerning individual and one who is foolish. And the contrast that you see here says that the discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth. So the question is, well, what are the ends of the earth? You might expect the proverb to say, well, the discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of the fool are toward folly. But it says toward the ends of the earth. So what this is meaning is that the fool is not looking at things that should be looked upon. His mind is looking at things of the world, things of the earth. And he's not focused on the things that are wise. He's always thinking about some worldly thing. And that certainly is indicative and descriptive of a lot of people in the world today, that their minds are on worldly things. Their minds are not on wisdom. You know, so you know, there's so many examples of how this could be applied. That the fool is not focused on the wise ways of life. Maybe rather than working, you know, the person that's foolish is always looking for a way to get rich quick, or wants to work very little, or rather than being content with what they have, the fool keeps his eyes on the world. And so you see that this proverb can have a very broad application. The idea is that the fool is very flighty and not grounded in wisdom. The fool is very focused on other people's lives. Well, other people's lives seem so much better than my own. Or the fool may be the one that is not really living in the now, but is always, you know, thinking about, you know, this utopian future where everything is the way that they want it to be. So this is the idea here, that the eyes are on worldliness. The eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth. You know, thinking about worldly things and not really being stable. Another thing that we see that the fool is described as being is one that certainly lacks wisdom and seeks after things that can provide false wisdom. In chapter 26, verse 7, it says, "Like a lame man's leg, which hang useless, is a proverb in the mouth of fools." Isn't that interesting? What good are a lame man's legs to him? Well, it's obvious that the answer is they're not useful at all. And so the foolish man, a proverb is something that's going to be a wise saying, right? The proverb is going to be wisdom. And the proverb is going to be useless in the mouth of the fool, just like a lame man's leg would be useless to him. So also in chapter 26 and verse 9 it says, "Like a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools." So Solomon describes, you know, the quote wisdom of fools here in a couple of different ways, simply to say that wisdom is really useless to the fool. Why is wisdom useless to the fool? Well, because he's not using it. He's not using wisdom, and the fool is offered wisdom, but it really is useless to him, and it's not going to help him at all. In chapter 15, in verse 2, it says, "The tongue of the wise commands knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly." The tongue of the wise commands knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. So here, you notice that foolishness is something that is not really a secret to those that are around that person, because that's what's gushing from the mouth. And that means we need to be careful about, you know, whose advice we solicit. If we see a person whose life is not orderly, or whose eyes are upon the ends of the earth, as we've already described, is that the type of person that you want to go ask advice for? The person that has a very disorderly life, that is that somebody that you would want, "I want you to teach me how to have a life like yours"? Well, no, you wouldn't want your life to be that way. You know, when we see someone that is successful, or we see someone that is spiritually minded, or has a good deal of success in teaching and raising their children, and their life is orderly, and you might want to seek wise advice from that person. But if you see somebody whose life is not orderly, whose eyes are on the ends of the earth, then wisdom would dictate you really are going to realize that their wisdom is useless. Because it's not wisdom, it's foolishness. And, you know, it's amazing how often, you know, that people might seek advice and they seek it from the wrong source. Or it's also amazing how those who have made a disaster of some area of their life are really quick to offer advice to others. And maybe sometimes they're trying to help people avoid doing the same thing that they've done. And so maybe there's some wisdom when you look at it that way, that they want to help somebody not go down the same path. But we have to be careful about that. The reason that advice can be useless is because of the next point that we see. The fool is one that never learns. A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Just yesterday, having a discussion with someone about a worker at camp who has become better and better at the job that they do. And the reason that they have become better and better at what they do is because they listen to the people. They have learned from the advice of others. You know, when something didn't work, if something was not being perceived in the right way, that person has been open to instruction. He has been open to comment, to help. But sometimes that's not always the case. Sometimes there are those that you offer advice over and over to, and nothing changes. One of the phrases that you often hear in a household where there's a few kids, the mother or father might say, if I told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that the same instruction has been given over and over, but nothing is changing. And we all understand that concept. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to a parent. But when you understand it in spiritual terms as well, and what Solomon's trying to get across to his son here, is that it's natural that people are going to learn. It should be natural that people are going to learn from their mistakes and they're going to improve, but that's not what the fool does. The fool is the one that is not going to change. A rebuke goes deeper into the one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. The idea is that you could beat the fool over and over and over again, and they still would not learn. And I just have to use myself as an example of that, because I can remember, you know, my dad telling me that he felt like he had to beat my head over with a 2x4 to knock some sense into him. Now, he never literally did that, and I don't know how badly he wanted to do that literally, but the idea there was that I'm trying to help you here, and you're being stubborn. And that's the same idea that we see with Solomon here, is that the foolish one, you just beat him over and over and over, and it's not getting any better. But the rebuke for the one who has understanding, or the rebuke for the one who has wisdom, okay, if you want to improve, here's what you need to do. Okay, well, I'll do that. And you see improvement, you see progress, and that's the way that it should be in the one who has wisdom. The fool will go through pain and suffering, and it will be a cycle that repeats itself, because there's not any learning that's going on. There's not any changing that's going on. In verse 22 of chapter 27, says, you cannot separate fools from their foolishness, even though you grind them like grain with mortar and pestle. When I read this, it just sounds like Solomon is saying the same thing that parents often say, just in a little bit of a different way. There's a cycle going on here. I'm trying to teach you, and you won't quit being foolish. So the proverb here has the point that trials and tribulations don't help someone who will not see the error of their ways. Trials and tribulations can be something that can help us. We can learn. We can not go down those same paths again. We can learn from our mistakes, and we can learn from the mistakes of others. But the fool does not learn, never learn. Also, the fool is one who doesn't change. Because the fool doesn't learn, the fool does not change, and he repeats error. And this is one of the more graphic of the proverb. It says, like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. So this proverb, it draws out, a disgusting illustration to illustrate the fool. I don't think this needs a whole lot of explanation and to understand what this means. It means that the fool never learns. And it is a situation that really is unnecessary, and it's not helpful at all for the fool to repeat error over and over. We all make mistakes. And I know that if you have a computer, or you work in a place that has a computer that has a password, and there's some companies that require the passwords to change every once in a while. So what happens is people will take the password onto the computer so everybody can see it. But what happens when somebody enters the wrong password? Well, it tells you it's the wrong password. I don't know how many times in our office there's a common computer in one area that quite a few different people use, and I walk up to it and it says, this account has been locked because the password's been re-entered too many times. And that is so frustrating to me, because if you don't know it, quit putting it in five times. Somebody's about to put it in five times before it locks up, and then I've got to contact IT to unlock it. If I don't know it, I'm not going to put the same one in five times hoping that something's going to change, something's going to be different. And we understand that. We understand how frustrating that is. Parents understand how frustrating it is for them to see a child that repeats the same error over and over. But the fool is the one who doesn't change. Chapter 26, and verse 3 says, a whip is for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. So this is another proverb that has a great imagery here, showing basically that the fool is very, very stubborn. And what does the whip do for the horse? Well, it's going to get the horse to change direction. Or a bridle, for the donkey. Get the donkey to change direction. The first time that I ever rode a horse, I was very young, and we were in Bell, Florida, where my grandmother lived, and they took us to some farm, and they put all the kids on the back of the horse. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea how to control that horse. And I guided my horse right into a lake. That's where my horse ran with me, is right into a lake. I did not know how to use the bridle to control it to go where I wanted it to go. So the rest of the day was a great success, for me with that horse. And everybody was, of course, very amused by it except me. But the bridle is, for the person that knows how to use it, it's going to cause horse, the donkey, to go into the right direction. But the imagery here that's very graphic is the rod is for the back of fools. The fool has got to have the stubbornness, taken out of him, because he is unwilling. You can get the animal to go into the direction that you want. The fool is much harder, is what Solomon is saying. Unwilling to change, unwilling to go into the proper direction. Also, the fool does not listen. The fool does not listen, and this goes along with some of the other things that we've already mentioned in chapter 18, verse 2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in entering his own opinions. Isn't that interesting? You can picture that the fool will go to someone. Maybe they'll go to somebody that they has wisdom. Perhaps in their congregation it's to an elder or somebody that is a leader of the congregation for help and counsel. Maybe it's in their work where there's somebody that is a boss or somebody that's very successful and ask for their opinion on how to deal with a certain situation. And after they, you know, collect all the wisdom that they can from other sources, then they go and they do what it is that they want to do anyway. Well, you've sought wisdom, you know, from good sources, but you're not going to listen. One thing that used to frustrate my father when he was preaching is to preach on a subject that he knew that certain individuals needed. And they would greet him at the back door and say, "Brother Frank, that sure is a fine lesson." And then they go on and keep doing the same things that he preached against in the lesson. Well, if that was such a fine lesson, you know, why is it not being applied? That's very frustrating. You know, preachers deal with that, parents deal with that, others get, you know, people that are in positions of authority in the workplace, they deal with that with employees. You know, they're trying to guide someone, they're trying to instruct someone, and the lack of listening is a constant problem. Psalmist says that's the way a fool is. There can be instruction that is gained that can actually help you if you will follow that. But the problem with the fool many times is because, you know, he or she thinks that they are right, and so, you know, rather than accept instruction, they rely on themselves. In chapter 12, verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. So when we're unwilling to truly listen to another's point of view and try it for ourselves, you know, what does that say about us? Well, Solomon says that we are the fool. The fool is the one who always thinks that he's right and everybody else is wrong. And I understand that sometimes we are right and somebody else is wrong. But nobody is perfect. Nobody has perfect knowledge. There's not one of us that cannot gain some knowledge and insight from someone else. The wise man is going to consider what others have to say and is going to certainly lean upon the Lord's wisdom, too, that we see in the Word of God. What Solomon is saying is that the fool is one who's so closed-minded, that has blinders on, that is going to forge straight ahead into, you know, whatever disaster might be awaiting them because they're not going to listen to someone else. Also, the one who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. This is also echoing the same sentiment in, you know, chapter 28 and verse 26. It's just basically saying that the fool is self-reliant. He thinks he doesn't need rebuke, he doesn't need counsel, he doesn't, you know, consult anyone, doesn't consult the Word of God for direction. Probably one of the most quoted of the Proverbs is Proverbs 14, verse 12, that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. The same sentiment, that the fool is right in his own eyes, but he's not right. He trusts himself, and as long as he keeps trusting himself, it's going to lead to disaster. Now, one of the things that seems to be very typical of teenagers is that they think that they know everything. Now, I know it's the same way when I was growing up, and it's amazing how as you get older, you look back and you think, well, you know, how did my parents get so smart, you know, while I was away at college? How did my parents get so smart? Because when I was living with them, they didn't seem so smart. But now, they have a lot of wisdom. Well, it's not really our parents that changed, it was us. And so, we understand that in hindsight, the one who thinks that he knows everything, who's a know-it-all and is so smart, God is saying that that person is walking down the road to destruction, to destroy their lives, because they are rejecting the wise counsel of others. In fact, you know, that proverb is so important that Solomon says it again in chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way which seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Saying exactly the same thing that is in chapter 14. So this idea that the hard-headed son needs to hear that over and over. That the fool is the one who doesn't learn. The fool is the one that doesn't listen, that doesn't change, that repeats his errors and thinks that his way is the only right way. Another problem that Solomon points out about the fool is that the fool, when things go awry and don't go his way, he doesn't accept responsibility for what's happened. You know, that, well, this is God's fault. Chapter 19, verse 3. A man's own foolishness ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. It's almost saying his foolishness has caused his situation. His lack of wisdom, his rejection of wisdom, his lack of seeking counsel or responding to good counsel. He's made his bed, but yet when things go badly, why did the Lord do this to me? Why does everybody else seem to have things and I don't? Why am I the one that has all these problems? The psalmist is saying that people will mess up their own lives and then, you know, blame God for the outcome. We probably see a lot more of this than certainly is good. And we're not even do it ourselves. We make the bad decision and then we complain to God that our lives are so difficult. Well, we many times do these things ourselves. We shouldn't be angry at God at the condition that we're in because we made bad decisions, we rejected wisdom, we rejected wise counsel, we rejected the Word of God. And too many, you know, people in the world and even brethren are angry at God when they should be more angry at themselves because they've rejected wisdom. They made the decision to go in this direction, not God. You decided to do these things. You decided to ignore the scriptures. You decided to seek after money. You decided to participate in immorality. You decided to do these things, not God. And these problems, these decisions, they have consequences, and we have to deal with those. But don't blame God when we chose to go into foolishness. Also, a fool is one that lacks self-control. Chapter 29, verse 11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. He gives full vent to his spirit. This gives the idea that everything goes, that we don't have any governor. And we talked about the need for self-control last week, and we talked about anger, so we won't go into all that. But what we need to see here is that, you know, we may be the one that feels like we have to voice our opinions. We have to be the one that is always talking. Solomon says the wise man is not the one that does that. The fool is the one that's wide open with his mouth. But the wise man, the fool is the one who is wide open, but the wise man quietly holds it back. In our society, you know, really teaches the opposite of that. So we have to express our feelings. You know, and that's what people are told to do. People tell their kids to do that. You know, we have to give them freedom of expression. We have to let everybody know what we think and how we feel. And there's so much more emphasis on that than being in control or being quiet and controlling your emotions instead of, you know, being so reactionary to everything. And you can can't we see that in our society today? The reactions and overreactions and protests to everything. The fool vents the feelings of the heart, and the wise, they control themselves. Also, another hallmark of the fool is that to be foolish just simply causes problems. Chapter 20 and verse 3. Chapter 20 and verse 3 said, "It is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel." The fool likes to argue. The wise tries to defuse the situation. And we also spoke about that in our lesson on anger, but we need to be reminded that the fool, his reaction, his quick temper causes problems. Also, Solomon says that being a fool, it destroys you. So it's important for us to know what the end result is of folly. And we'll discuss a few verses here in the conclusion of this lesson. Verse 21 of chapter 10, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense." So here Solomon pointing out that not only does being foolish hurt you, you're not helping anybody else either when you are a fool. The one who is righteous, the lips, the expressions of wisdom that the righteous have, they're going to end up helping others. But fools die for lack of sense. The wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be ruined. Verse 6 of chapter 18, "A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating." A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. And perhaps you've been around folks like that. Maybe you work with just one or two or more. And you get a bunch of people into a room, and there's a contentious situation, or there's a discussion, and you already know in your mind what the outcome might be, that you're just waiting for that person to speak up, because you're wondering what's going to happen, how are they going to react, because that's their reputation. The fool's lips walk into fight. This is ready. They're loaded for bear, and their mouth invites a beating. Solomon's really trying to encourage his son not to go this way. To hold back. To be quiet. To not be reactionary. Verse 14 of chapter 10 says, "The wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of the fool hastens destruction." So what Solomon is emphasizing to his son here is that the end result of foolish behavior is destruction. It's ruin. And our lives can be full of pain and misery if we adopt those same characteristics that Solomon is telling us to avoid. So in conclusion here, what we have to do is, what Solomon says, you keep your eyes on wisdom. This means you keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on the instruction that we receive from God, and we don't participate in the folly of the world. And that's where we started off today in this study. Eyes are on the ends of the earth. Eyes are on the world of the one who is foolish. So keep your eyes on wisdom. Be truly willing to learn. Listen to others. Listen to God. And learn from your own mistakes. Don't repeat your mistakes. Learn from the mistakes of others. If you see somebody else go down the wrong path, Don't go down that path. It's like when you see one of these horror movies and you know that one person's always going to go into the woods to check out what the sound was, or somebody's going to leave and goes and drill screaming at the TV. Don't go there. Don't do that. You know, it says, you see it over and over, they're making a foolish decision. Learn from those things. Change. Don't do that again. If it, you know, if it's like the old joke, you know, you're the doctor and you say, it hurts when I do this. And he says, well, don't do that. You know, quit doing that. And don't assume that you are right. And don't blame God for your problem. God is our helper. God is the one that is warning us what path not to go down. And if we go down that path, what has happened is everything turning out exactly the way God said that it would. Develop self-control. Avoid strife and conflict. So, one of the key things that you do see here in the book of Proverbs is that word fool, that word folly. And there's always a lot of instruction there about what that means and which way not to go. Proverbs is not one of the largest books of the Bible, but it certainly has so much practical knowledge in it that will help us if we will employ these things in our life. Let's not be the fool. Let's be one who is wise. If we can help you in any way today to respond to the gospel of Christ, perhaps you've been foolish with your time. You've been foolish with the knowledge that you have of the Word of God. You know what it is that you need to do, but for some reason you put that off. That's one of the most foolish things that we can do, is to not respond to the invitation of God. If you can help in any way to respond to God's invitation, you'd like to come while we